Hey-o, there he is, right on time as always. Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Mike Breton, cousin who shows up on time. And there's the other one, Cousin Shane, everybody's favorite. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, I'll tell you, man, it's been hotter than you know what.
Yes.
So yeah. I figured, what better time, Shane, to talk about our hottest preseason takes for the season. And, buddy, I got some. You might fall out of your chair, some of these takes I got. How about that?
That sounds great, Mike. It is. It is very, very warm this season. Seems like it's always hot, but, man, it has been really damn hot here. When it gets to a point, I'm like, I hope it rains today. That's when you know it's been a little too warm. But you know what cools me off, Mike? Walking in to see our friends over at Tennessee Legend Distillery. That's right. The air conditioning's always on at the TLD. Be sure to let them know that SEC Mike, Cousin Shane sent you. Not only we get a discount, but you will also get a bonus gift. I love Brian. I love him to death. He shoots me a text like 2 minutes before we jump on. He's like, hey, by the way, so I want to give him a quick shout out because they've got some paint sip. Now, Mike's, I don't think you've ever done a paint sip, have you?
No, I don't even know how to paint.
You don't even need to, as long as you sip enough.
I don't sip, I chug.
Well, they're going to have some a paint sip on the 23rd up here in the Smoky Mountains. So if you're at the Sevierville location, and my favorite, a cookie decorating class on the 29th this month. That's right. They do a little bit of everything over here. They know how to get me in there, Mike. So, if you're in town on those dates, be sure to check in. And I'll tell you, it's fun. You don't even have to be an artiste like Cousin Shane. You just got to get in there and have some fun.
Yeah, nothing hot about that. I mean, they're going to cool you off during these hot months. You know what?
For sure, man. Absolutely. Be hot over at the expo when we go see all that walking I'm already thinking about. But we got the, I'll let you say it, Fanboy
Expo. Yes. This weekend. We'll be there Saturday.
Yes.
So it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but we will only be there. Shane's only allowed me to go one day. So we'll go Saturday. So be there or be square. Should be a good time. I've been to a lot of comic conventions, but I've never been to the Fanboy Expo.
I've not been to it either, Mike. I don't really know what I'm walking into, but I'm looking forward to it. And hopefully we'll run into some cousins while we're there.
Yeah. So, hey, before we reveal our hot takes here, did you have a good fourth and everything?
I had a fantastic fourth. Got all my fingers, so that was good, right? Had some nice cold beer. Got to see some family. It was wonderful. I hate passing the torch, but the torch is passed, right? I mean, there was a point in our lives. You remember when you were younger and your dad hands you like a lighter and he says, go ahead and light this thing up. It's like, it feels like, oh man, I'm a big kid now, right? But I realized what he was doing. He didn't want to do it anymore. And so that torch was on my hands for a long time, but not anymore. My brother-in-law has taken over those reins and he is fantastic. He is 10, a million times better at it than I am. And I'm at that point in my life where I can drink cold beer and just sit back and enjoy the show. So that's what we were able to do, man. Did you have a good fourth?
Because someone called you a human shield.
Yeah. Hey, you'd be surprised how many times people got behind me. Because here's the other thing. They get them little, like, one-hitters. You know what I call it? Like, you light it up.
Yeah.
Like M40s, I think they used to call them when we were kids or something. They're not as potent as they. We had little sticks of dynamite when we were growing around. But yeah, them little kids were throwing those. So there was a few times I noticed my wife especially got behind me and it wasn't to protect her from the breeze, you know. It was to protect her from.
They want to know if you got your torch taken away.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to do it no more. I can't get away from it quick enough, you know.
Did you tell you told Paul Feinbaum the only bad beer is a hot beer? I didn't catch that.
Yeah, he was asking me what my favorite cold beverage was. And of course, we drank a lot of them silver bullets this weekend. I'm back on water today, I promise. But yeah, he asked me what was my favorite, and I told him there's really not a bad beer. Free beer is great beer, you know what I'm saying? Cold beer, but a warm beer, you know, even if it is free, I'm probably going to draw a line there. I'm, you know.
Hopefully we get to have some cold ones with old Fred.
Yeah.
For Ole Miss LSU, you know what?
Hell yeah. That's going to be a good one. Was that 19th, I believe, September 19th?
It's coming up before you know it.
My wife, she was like, we're talking about potentially going to Bristol. So Bristol Night Race up here. Been a while since I've been to the track. And I said, oh yeah, because I thought it was in August. And then she was like, no, it's September 19th. And I was like, September 9th. I was like, I don't know. It seems like that's an important date. And I had to read off the SEC games. So I was like, yeah, there's no way we're making Bristol this year.
All right. So I don't know how prepared you are, Shane. So I am prepared.
Zero.
I got
zero.
I asked for 5 of your hottest takes.
Yes.
So I got 6.
Oh,
I got a little bonus edition here, but I would like to do this, Shane, if it's all right with you.
Yes.
With your least hottest, and then we'll progressively get to your hottest, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
How does that sound?
That sounds great, Mike. I hope we didn't pick some of the same ones.
Oh, I don't think, these are so hot. I don't think.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I wouldn't even think you would consider these. You know what?
Okay. All right.
All right, so I'll start us. And again, this is my least hot take here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if it is a hot take, Shane, but I'm sure I'll get accused of it. Because anytime you say something about Mighty Texas, it's a clickbait, it's a take, you're just trying to, you know, it's so funny, Shane. We did a show yesterday, I think it was, with Steven and I.
Yeah.
And during the show, Texas fans were like, this clickbait, anti-Texas stuff. And then as soon as we finished, nothing in the comments but Oklahoma people, A&M people, like, you just a bunch of Texas ass kissers, you know, like, you can't please people, you know what? So you read into it what you will. But here's my first hot take.
Yes.
Arch Manning, who I think he's going to have a really good year. Whoa. Really good year, Shane.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to be better than he was last year. But here's my take. Arch will not be a Heisman finalist. He won't even make the finalist, Shane. And I'll tell you why. You might say, what? He's got the second best odds to win the award, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand this Heisman, the voting. I've never been asked. I never will be asked. And if they ever do ask, I'll say, get the hell out of here. I don't want any part of that, you know, because it, to me, they are just out to pick apart the favorites.
Yes.
And the guys that are projected to win it, it's, they just look for ways, it seems like, for them, you know, as soon as the game's over, they're like, oh, he just lost himself to Heisman.
Yeah.
You know, it's always, what's the new shiny thing out there? And I'll give you, yeah, hell, I did some research here, Shane. Last year, Mendoza, 50-1 to win the Heisman. Mm. He came out of nowhere, right? Travis Hunter won it the year before, Colorado. And again, everybody's like, oh, he's an elite, blah, blah, blah. What are you talking about? 66-1. He was even less odds than Mendoza. Now we have two exceptions here. Jaden Daniels was 18-1. So he wasn't the favorite, but he had pretty good odds.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams, who won it before, he had 11-1. So he's an outlier here. So those do not back up what I'm saying here. But Devonta Smith, Shane, won it before that, 100-1. And then the year before that, Joe Burrow literally did not have preseason odds to win the Heisman Trophy. And I'll go a step further, Shane. I'll go a step further. And I saw this in an article. I want to give him a shout out. Now, this is an old article, but it was posted in 2017 at The Ringer. They said from 2009 to 2016, there were 71 players that had 20-1 or better odds to win the Heisman in the preseason.
Yeah.
71 players, Shane, 20-1 odds to win it. Only one of those guys won the award, and that was Marcus Mariota. So the point being, Shane, is like they just look, whoever the favorite is, whoever you think is going to win it, they're just going to pick them apart.
Yep.
Unless Texas goes undefeated or 11-1 and Arch Manning, you know, I know he's good and I think he's going to be phenomenal, But I just, I think for whatever reason, I think they're going to hold a game or two against him.
Yeah.
And I don't think Arch will, I don't even think he'll be a Heisman finalist.
Damn, that is a hot take. And I get what you're saying. It makes perfect sense because there's been a lot of years. Hell, last year we had Arch in that list, right?
Right.
And I hate that you went there because it kind of goes in a little bit with what I've got here. My number five hot take, so I'll just go ahead and throw it out there just so you know, is Arch Manning went. No, just kidding. I think what happens is the SEC finally grabs hold of the reins, right? I think next year or this coming up season that there will be an SEC national champ, and I think that there'll be an SEC Heisman winner. But I don't think they'll be on the same team. And when I say that, I feel like you know who the favorites are, and I'm trying not to give away my picks, but everybody pretty much knows who I think's the number one this year. So I guess that's a little bit of a hot take. I got Texas winning a national title, but I don't think Arch Manning wins the Heisman Trophy either. Look for another guy. I'm looking at John Mateer. I'm looking at Marcel Reed. I'm looking at Trinidad Chambliss, one of those three, maybe even Lenore Sellers. If South Carolina gets this, if South Carolina gets to a college football playoffs, it's going to be because Lenore Sellers took a massive step forward this season. And in this offense, wouldn't blow my mind if he's not a front runner at some point for the Heisman. Now, obviously, the Heisman is very fluky because it's voted upon a bunch of losers out there, not real fans, not real college football fans. There's some. I shouldn't say all of them. There's some out there. And I feel like you really are going to have to win some serious games. So like Alabama for South Carolina, you know what I'm saying? You're going to have to go up to Michigan and beat the shit out of them on national TV if you're John Mateer. You're going to have some of those, you know, significant games won this coming season. And so that's why I feel like your quarterback, it'll be a quarterback. Your Heisman winner will not come from Austin, Texas, but they don't care because they won a national title.
Yeah, you'd rather have that anyway. You know what?
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure there's a few Texas fans like, oh, Shane, you're an idiot. We win everything.
All right, so here's my number two hot take.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wait, maybe we should linger a little bit here because I don't want to just blow through all these. But so national championship, Heisman, all SEC.
Yes.
Will it come from the same team or different teams, you think?
Well, I said different teams. That gotcha. Was a hot okay. take. Yeah, yeah. You don't ever listen to me. You're like my wife. You know, that's what she says to me. You're just thinking about what you want to say next.
But it would make sense that it would be the same team, right? I guess that's why it's a hot take, huh?
It's a hot take just because we get it back. But I don't know. I'm kind of like you. I feel like there's a couple of names that you're going to put on this list that should win it, right? You could see winning it. And sometimes it seems like it pans out, but most of the time it's like you said, it's a school that you weren't expecting. It's an Indiana, right? So, or it's a, I mentioned South Carolina. We're expecting Oklahoma to be good, but they got some really tough games. But if they win those tough games and they're back in the college football playoffs and John Mateer with his new throw motion, because he's been working with Mr. Allen, you know, I mean, they're going to say, even though he has it, but they're going to say, look at this guy, you know, what if, I mean, there's a scenario, Oklahoma beats Texas, Texas wins a national title, but we remember that Red River and what, you know, John Mateer did and that win helped them get to the playoffs. So I feel like with the expansion of the playoffs and the way these quarterbacks are playing, there's a real chance that you can have a winner on a losing team, if that makes sense. Not a losing team, but not one that won the title.
Right. So, I mean, we could list off a number of teams, right? Like, again, I'm just picking names out of a hat here, but let's say Missouri, Tennessee, Florida, Auburn, Carolina.
Oh, you know, I'm sorry.
If a team like that makes the playoff.
Yes.
It might be because they have one outstanding individual that cannot be denied an award of that caliber.
Here's one for you. Georgia Bulldogs. I could see them winning a national title. I can't see them winning a Heisman Trophy. That's not in their DNA, right? But on the flip side, I could see Arch Manning winning the Heisman, but not winning the national title. So, you know, because by the time most of these votes are in, the title game hasn't even been played. So that could also be, you know, along the same lines there.
Okay, I like it. I can't believe I was number one. I can't wait to see what your number five is here, but I like it. All right, number two for me, Shane. And I don't even know if this is a hot take these days. Shout out to Boring. I got Alabama beating Georgia in Tuscaloosa, like they always do, but they will lose to multiple unranked teams. How about that, Shane? Is that even a hot take these days? Because that's just what we do. We beat, you know, these Giants. We slay the Giants, and then we lose to teams we shouldn't. I think they beat Georgia at home. They lose to multiple unranked teams.
When you're saying multiple, because that could be skewed, are you thinking closer to two or closer to four?
Probably just two, but again, if you're beating perhaps number one Georgia,
yeah,
you don't have business losing, no offense, to Carolina. I don't think will be ranked at Mississippi State, Auburn perhaps, Vanderbilt, you know, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
I think they lose two of these.
I could see it, right? That's what they kind of do. know, they find a way to beat Georgia, but then they lose to other teams. So that's not far-fetched, but I don't know. When you say multiple, I feel like a three, like beating Georgia and not making the playoffs, that's a hot take, right? So
I'm going for a lot hotter than that, brother.
Okay, because that's on the verge. I don't know. I don't think Tide fans would be extremely upset unless those two teams are Auburn or I think Florida State, right? As embarrassing that was. I feel like starting the season off with another loss like that would be detrimental. But
now, keep in mind, Shane, I'm not saying they win the rest of them either.
Oh, shit. Well, I'm just saying that way.
You're beating perhaps number one, but you're losing to two you have no business losing to.
Uh-huh.
I may mix in a loss at Tennessee, a ranked Tennessee, by the way, a ranked LSU, a ranked A&M. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying 10-2 with two crazy losses. I'm saying,
yeah,
you're beating the best, you're losing to the worst.
Oh, shit, Mike. That's a good one. That's a tough one to beat.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so but you got a hot take that can beat it?
I can beat it. I can beat it, absolutely. The coaching world is a-changing, right? And we hear them talking all the time, and we're waiting for, okay, who's on the hot seat? Who's going to this job? Who's going to a premier SEC job? Nobody would give that up. Two coaches do this year. Two coaches have an opportunity to get an extension, but they take a job elsewhere. So I think this is one of the first seasons that we have something like that. Two SEC head coaches leaving this conference. One maybe for the NFL, one maybe for another conference. But I feel like that is – we're always looking for the next guy to get fired, which I do believe there's going to be at least one fire in this year, if not more. But I do think – this conference is back, man. We're doing through these. I don't know. Maybe I'm just drinking the Kool-Aid, but we're going through these previews and stuff. I'm like, dude, we got some freaking stout teams this year, top to bottom. This may be the deepest this conference has ever been. And I feel like there's a couple of programs that not really have been shit on, but not talked about near as much as they should, and especially their head football coach. And I feel like at the end of the season, one, if not two of those guys are going to find an opportunity elsewhere because of it. You're not going to name them, Shane? Yeah, I'll name them. I'll name them. The one I'm looking at is the one we'll be talking to at Media Days. Eli Drinkwitz. Gone. Gone. Second one that I think is going to go elsewhere because of all the success he had. Oh, man, it's kind of giving up. I don't want to give this one up because it's going to give up on one of my other ones. But you'll know exactly when I say it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
These coaches get one season of the 9-game SEC. They're like, yeah, I get the hell out of here while the getting's good, huh?
Get it, man. Get it. I mean, look, who have we crowned, right, as the God's gift to football right now? Who is the bet? Like, if you were to poll the nation right now, who is the greatest football coach in the world?
Kurt Cignetti.
Exactly, right? And did he do that? Could he be in that same boat if he was coaching in Georgia? If he was coaching at Tennessee, hell no. He wouldn't have went undefeated. He probably wouldn't have had a Heisman winner. He sure as shit wasn't going to win a national title because them boys had time to rest this year because it's Indiana in that weak-ass conference. So, sorry, excuse my language, but I'm just saying there's going to be some coaches that are going to say, hey, I could do it. I could do it over there. So, I feel like that's what happens.
I'll do you one better, Shane. I don't think old Kurt, I do respect him as a good coach. I don't think there's any shot in hell he would have won 10 games at Vanderbilt like Clark Lee did.
Mm-mm. There's your coach of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put that in your pop, smoke it. Put him on the video game, you know?
Well, while you're doing that, you know what else you should put on, Shane?
What's that?
SeatGeek.com. Go check them out. They're back for another year. So if you're going to go to these games like we are, use that promo code SEC10 over at SeatGeek.com to get you 10% off your order for football tickets. And it's not just football, Shane. It's all the sports, baseball, basketball. You can go to concerts, comedy shows, whatever. They got you all covered over at SeatGeek.com. Promo code SEC10. I'll put a link in the show notes to go check them out. But they're a hell of a company, Shane, that all we're really trying to do is save the cousins some money, you know what?
Yep, that's it, man.
Save you 10%, get you some alcohol at the game. And you're even Steven, you know what?
Yeah, say when you get it, say, this beer's for you, Mike and Shane. Thank you for the free beer, because that's what it feels like.
Hey, speaking of freedom down here, shout out Steven Up. We appreciate you, buddy.
Hell yeah, Road Tide.
Always showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Steven Up. Roll Tide.
I'm starting to think Cousin Shane is making more sense than SEC Mike. What is this podcast coming to? That's a fine question. You know what?
Let's get to that point, man. I mean, I feel like I've been, I don't know. I think Alabama's hurt him. You ever see those things that says point on this doll where SEC Mike hurts you? I don't know what happened down there in Tuscaloosa at his last visit, but he is. It seems like he's attacking our boys here, Steven.
All right, how about this one? Oh, I'm about to hurt some feelings here, Shane.
Oh,
Again, these are hot takes, right?
Yeah.
I don't even know if this is hot or not. But I'm just gonna throw it out there. Shout out Clark Lee. I'm saying this, Shane. You let me know if you agree. I'm gonna show the schedules first because I think it'll help. Arkansas. Shout out the Razorbacks. And again, I'm just really looking at the Southeastern Conference games here. So they get Georgia at home, at A&M, Tennessee at home, at Vanderbilt, Missouri at home, at Auburn, Carolina at home, at Texas, and LSU. So remember that. Arkansas, Kentucky. Again, I'm just looking at the conference games here. Bama at home, at A&M, at Carolina, LSU at home, at Oklahoma, Vanderbilt, at Tennessee, Florida at home, at Mizzou, and Vandy, at Auburn, at Georgia, Ole Miss at home, Arkansas at home, at Kentucky, at Mississippi State, Bama at home, at Florida, Tennessee at home.
Yeah.
Those three, Arkansas, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, they will not combine to win 6 SEC games this year.
Golly. Well, you're just piling them all.
I mean, listen, those were just some damn gauntlets, weren't they?
Texas is mad at you. You know, now Kentucky's mad at you. Who else you have? Arkansas, they hate you. You know what I'm saying?
Am I wrong?
Yeah. I mean,
luckily they're playing each other, so there's a couple wins.
Actually, can I go ahead and give you mine? Because this is going to answer a little bit off the last one, and it's going to go, I can give you some more talking points here based off the ones you picked. So I think out of the new hires, I'm not talking about Ole Miss and LSU, or not talking Lane and Pete. We're removing them from this scenario. But the new coaches that are coming in, everybody's enamored by Summerall. Everybody's, look what John's going to be able to do down here in Florida. Look who he's able to keep. It's so exciting, you know. Oh, but, you know, don't sleep on Gullish over here at Auburn, right? This guy's system, he's bringing half his football team with him. They're going to kick ass when they get over here in the SEC. You know which coach, which new hire is going to have the most wins in 2026? You ain't even at it yet, Mike. The Steiner recliner. That's right. Here's a hot take, Mick Rouse. Get on the edge of your seat. I'm about to tell you right now, Kentucky has more wins than any of those teams that I've mentioned. So Arkansas, Florida, Auburn, Kentucky. Kentucky will have the most wins here. And I know, Mike, because you were already talking about this daunting schedule, but the schedule looks daunting now. But how many times do we go into a season, just like the Heisman conversation, and we say, you know who's going to be really tough? Tennessee on the road. You know who's going to be tough? Florida Gators at home. I mean, we're trying to predict how good or bad those teams are going to be in July. I'm telling you right now, there's a few teams on that list that ain't going to be as hot as you think they are. And I feel like this is the coach. All right, sorry, Nick, I just told you all those nice things. You only get him for a season because he's going somewhere else at the end of the year because of all the success he had there in Lexington.
Damn, Shane, how much Tennessee legend have you had before popping on here? Maybe you had some of that cornbread hemp because I don't see it. So
yeah,
maybe like an 8-win type year, and then he gets the call up to like maybe Dan Lanning goes to the NFL, and then they're like, hey, Will Stein, come on back, baby.
When he resurrects this offense, which it will be, it'll look night and day difference. Now, he's going to have some big wins, right? Is it? They've all circled Alabama. Could that happen? I don't know. I mean, hell, if you ask Mike, I'm sure it would. You know, but it may be a Texas A&M. It may be, like I said, a ranked Tennessee or something. I'm not saying that happens because I got a lot of Kentucky bourbon behind me. But I do feel like there may – for this scenario to play out, they got to win the games that are toss-ups, and they're going to have to pull off one or two potentially massive upsets. But if they do, it puts Steiner recliner right in the crosshairs for a coach search elsewhere.
Do you think – I'm just trying to wrap my brain around this because that's such a wild comment, but I love it. You think Kentucky fans would be fired up with that? You have a really good year, but you lose your coach.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they take that at this point.
It's two things would happen. One, it's proof. It's proof that it can happen, you know, and sometimes you just got to see it to believe it, right? So if somebody did come in, even if it was a one-hit wonder and had that success, you're saying, hey, why not here? Why not? It happened in Oxford, right? Why not over here? Why it happened once. At this school, why can't it happen at this one? So, yeah, I feel like that is the big one. But second, you know, I don't know if happy you would be because I would compare it to Lane Kiffin coming to Tennessee, right? There was – at the end of that year, we were so freaking – yeah, we didn't have a great season. But we saw, dude, the future looks bright until he's standing in the hallway with a letter, you know? So yes, you will hate him forever, but you will have a awesome run along the way. So enjoy it while you have it.
Maybe just don't leave on the eve of signing day like old Kiffin did.
Don't, Don't do that. Don't be that guy.
Shane politicking for another bourbon bet. That's what you're trying to do. Just try to restock the bourbon shelf back there.
You got it. This is your year.
Oh, I love it. Okay, that was a good one. All right, how about this one, Chase? Again, so I'm getting pretty hot here, right?
Yeah.
You already talked about coaching hot seats.
Mm-hmm.
Shane Beamer's out here publicly admitting I'm on a hot seat. Gotta win. They got a lot of potential in that roster. We say the same thing every year. And they totally whiffed this year. Now it's a 9-game SEC. Still got Clemson. It's kind of a tough road to hoe, as they say, Shane. I don't know. We really love Shane's on this show.
Yeah.
And in this conference. But is Shane Beamer going to make it, Shane? Look at this schedule. Oh, Carolina. At Bama. At Florida with John Sumrall, who, despite Shane stabbing in the back, I still like you, John. Tennessee at Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Georgia. Oh, my goodness. If he goes 6-6, he may not be around, Shane.
Yeah.
Beamer will not be back under his current contract. He's getting a contract extension, Shane. South Carolina's going to do so well this year that they're going to lock him up to a contract extension. They fired his asses, and his contract runs through 2030.
Yeah.
So 27, you know, that. Yeah, I think even though he's got a little bit of time on that deal, he's got a new AD. I think they're going to lock his ass up to an extension. How about that?
I don't hate it, Mike. In fact, it was potentially one of my hot takes. I couldn't figure out what to do with it. I just, in my mind, I can see South Carolina having success this season. And something I mentioned earlier, it's not just Lenore Sellers. It's what they put around him. I feel like they have made the offensive line better. That makes his life easier. I feel like they got an offensive coordinator now that will really exploit what he – I mean, we've seen the ceiling. That when Lenore takes over, he legitimately takes over a football game. And I feel like when you're watching him this season, there's going to be moments you say, where was this last year? You know, this guy, because we talked to Heisman earlier. I'm right there with you. Schedule tough, very tough, right? You just add another SEC game. But it feels like every time we talk about strength of schedule, South Carolina is in that mix. But there are also some games in here that if you do hit, you know, I feel like they shouldn't be an upset, but I feel like at some point you're just saying, you know what, it's an even year. Of course, South Carolina was going to have success this year. So it is not easy, but I do feel like South Carolina will look 10 times better this season than they did last year, especially on offense.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what would be your number four hot take?
Oh, man, you're not going to like this one. You are not going to, because you love this team, right? But there's a football team above your head somewhere that went to the college football playoffs last year. They barely make a bowl game this year. That's right. Texas A&M. You knew it. I'm telling you, brother, I want to believe. I shouldn't say that. I want it for the fans. I love Texas A&M fans. I think they're great. Billy Lucci, I got to get back with them. They're really going to want me on. They may not. They may say, you know what, Shane, we're good. You just stay where you're at. But I feel like this is kind of a downer. We've got our hopes up. We're excited about the recruiting class and all the fun stuff we got to do last year and compete in the college football playoffs. But to me, I don't know. It's like America in the World Cup, right? We're glad we're there. But we knew we didn't belong. And I feel like that's what happens with Texas A&M this year. Oh, no. They take a little step back and get 7 wins. We'll say 7.
Barely. Does this mean you're not a believer in Coach Elko?
No, it's not that at all. I don't feel like the coaching hires, especially at the coordinator spot, that one kind of, I didn't like it, right? We're going to convince each other that it's a good hire, right? We're going to talk about it like it's the same system, blah, blah, blah. But no, deep down inside, you know especially with Texas A&M, they could have went out here and got some dudes, and they didn't. They chose to stay in-house, which is perfect, right? If you're winning titles annually, yes, do the Saban route, promote from within. But to be honest with you, we ain't there yet. So I think the first change that they're going to make at the end of the season is getting him an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, and again, the schedule's difficult. A lot of tough road games.
Yeah.
For some reason, the Southeastern Conference making them go back to LSU, back to Missouri, in back-to-back years. Again, I'm down on Bama, but that probably means they're going to win the national championship. So I get it. And that November's brutal.
Oof.
So there's reasons. There's reasons to believe that. And, you know, retooled offensive line. How good is Marcel Reed? I think he's going to be really good this year. I predicted he's going to have the most passing touchdowns in the SEC. So I hate that take, Shane. But I get it. I mean, I don't think it's... again, I'm not picking it, but I could see why you picked it. There's a lot of logic there, I think.
Which is rare, right, when it's coming from me. But listen, somebody's got to win, somebody's got to lose. And I feel like in the offseason, we do that. We have a tendency to try to be a little more optimistic than we probably should be. But we got to really admit to ourselves – going to a 9-game SEC schedule is going to really hurt some teams. And I'm not saying Texas A&M gets blown out in these games. I feel like there could be one or two that got away from them. And it may be that in-game situation when you don't have your guy at coordinator. So that's what I'm a little worried about, because when Marcel Reed got bad, he got bad. And, you know, that's really where a good cornerback or a good – coordinator, a quarterback coach, you know, can really, you know, calm him down and get him back on track. So that's what I see happen is maybe one or two games. Just damn, we had that when we let it slip.
All right, Shane, are you prepared for my hottest preseason take?
Yeah.
And I promise you're going to love it.
Yeah.
So just buckle up, buddy. Buckle up. Try not to keel over here. Because I heard you go on a Paul Feinbaum show talk up Tennessee, and Paul asked you, well, what's record? You said, I don't know, 8-4.
I backed up.
Way to hype him up there, Shane, you old Tennessee homer. Well, remember who said it, because Shane, as much as he claims to be the Tennessee homer, he wasn't on the bandwagon. He'll be on it come the fall, Shane. Them Tennessee Vols are making the college football playoff this year. That's my hot take. That will be on my media days ballot when we cast those votes here in a couple weeks. But again, you can laugh at it all you want. Toughest games they got on the schedule, Texas, possibly Bama, LSU, all at home. Mm-hmm. Maybe Auburn. Again, maybe, but you get Auburn at home. Their most difficult road games at A&M. You just said A&M's winning 7 games. I don't necessarily believe that, but if that is the case and there's a path where that happens, all of a sudden the schedule opens up even more. We have discussed this before, Shane, but I want to say it again, because he's unbiased and he just looks at the data and he looks at the numbers. Our buddy Dave Bartu, he's got Josh Heupel as the best play caller in the Southeastern Conference. He's got Joey Halsey, the quarterback coach, as the best quarterback coach in the Southeastern Conference. So all this bullshit of they don't have a quarterback, even though they got a 5-star and a 4-star competing for the job. Whoever it is, Shane, they're going to be literally coached as well as you could possibly be coached, according to Dave Bartu, again, who's just looking at data and how these guys produce at that position, and not just the coaching, because we always say it, and I firmly believe it, Shane, players matter more than the coaches. I went on the show yesterday and I predicted DeShaun Bishop. I think he's going to lead the Southeastern Conference in rushing. Yeah. Tennessee's bringing back more snaps on the offensive line than anybody in the conference. I think their defense will be much improved. They've got two stud receivers, including SEC Freshman of the Year last year, Braylon Staley. So there's a lot to like about Tennessee. And I love the fact that people are counting them out, because you've been doing this your whole life, paying attention to Tennessee, Shane. When does Tennessee do well? When people count them out, when you hype up the Vols, even though I'm hyping up the Vols, when you hype them up, they don't do shit. So
yeah,
I'm the only one I think is going to have Tennessee there in the college football playoff. But so it's a hot take, but I believe it. So thoughts on that?
It's a prayer I say every night, Mike. So I'm right there with you. And I kind of hate that I didn't say it earlier because I thought about using this one earlier. I am also, if you listen to the rest of Feinbaum, I did say 9-3 and we make the playoffs. I do feel like Tennessee is being slept on a little. You know, they're being overlooked, and that's okay. That's okay. That's exactly what they did in 1998. And what happened that year? Oh, yeah, we won a national title. We got Adidas back, baby. Yeah, I'm right there in the same camp. I would love to make the college football playoffs, but there's not one team on that schedule that's facing Tennessee that wants to face Tennessee, because if Josh Heupel hits on the quarterback, this could be an extremely dangerous offense, similar to 2022 Hendon Hooker year. So I don't know if you saw Knowles getting married, old man Knowles, he got married on the defensive side, and this guy, he just doesn't lose. You know what I'm saying? He is a winner, a natural-born winner. So I think this is a big year for Tennessee. So I can't steal that one. So then now I'm in a predicament, right? That was my number one. You used it. So then I was like, well, you know what? I could throw out the Texas going undefeated because I've said that, right? But is that really a hot take? Kind of. I think so. Maybe you think so, Mike. 12-0 Texas, I could see it. But I think the hottest of hot takes, and that's what we're doing. It's freaking hot outside. It's 1,000 degrees. Speaking of 98, this team right here probably hasn't even been thought about since 1998. But I feel like with all the noise and all the commotion in the state of Mississippi, they're overlooking the team that will have the most wins. Mississippi State has more wins in 2026 than Ole Miss does.
Wow.
And it comes down to November 27th, and they beat them in the Egg Bowl.
So I guess you're not making the trip to Oxford.
Well, it's a hot take. You put me on the spot, but I don't know, man. We close out every show with the Pirate, you know, saying Hell State. And I go back to last year, and there were a handful of games that Mississippi State should have won. They really should have. And I love the quarterback situation coming into this season. Jeff Lebby. Oh, by the way, we got a new defensive coordinator that has shown he can do pretty well over here. So, yeah, maybe we are sleeping a little bit on Mississippi State. They're going to have some tough games. I'm not saying they're going to go to the playoffs, but will they have more games and wins than Ole Miss? I could see it. I mean, Ole Miss is sitting there at 7.5. Vegas, not my numbers. This is Vegas. They're trying to tell you. And of course they got Lacey, and of course they got Trinidad, but they got a lot of other new stuff and a lot of question marks that are floating around. And I'll be honest with you, a tougher schedule than Mississippi State. And you put that recipe together, not far-fetched to say Mississippi State has more wins.
Hey, shout out to Cousin Derek. Shane, please don't drive later if you need anything from the store. And Cousin Kyle says he's glad you're not on the A&M bandwagon.
I know. That's so is Ole Miss, right? Let's be honest. It's like winning the Heisman. I've been the front runner for Heisman for 15 years, and I have not even made the table. I had been in the top five by the end of the season because how bad my picks are.
So if that were to happen, I mean, again, a lot would have to unfold, but would that mean that Pete Golding not cut out to be a head coach in this conference?
Well, I think that would be the real question, right? Let's say this scenario plays out. Do you say, were we just impatient with Jeff Lebby, or did we move too quick on Pete? Right. So I told you as soon as Lane Kiffin left, Pete was going to be the scapegoat, period. short of them making another run in the playoffs, short of them winning a national title, I mean, the bar has moved. This is where they're at. The standard in Oxford is to make a playoff or bust. And if you're sitting there at eight wins, let's say it's eight wins, I think that would be a successful season, right? In fact, you'd win money if you're playing in Vegas, but I don't think the fans think that. So, yeah, I feel like he's in a tough spot. He's in a tougher spot than Kalen DeBoer is following Nick Saban. And I'm not comparing Lane Kiffin to Nick Saban. I just feel like the shadow is a lot bigger where Lane Kiffin was standing.
Right, and I mean, we've said it before. Ole Miss got the last, I think it's 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
They are third in the SEC in wins, behind just Georgia, who's won multiple national championships, and Alabama, who had the greatest coach of all time. And then there's Ole Miss. So he's walking into a situation where, I mean, just matching what has been done would be historic.
Yeah.
And is that feasible? Well, good luck, because the expectations are raised at the same time. So, I mean, that's an incredibly difficult position to be put in, but it doesn't mean he can't get it done. And again, this is the I've made fun of the LSU fans that just think it's like all these players came for Lane Kiffin and not money, not NIL.
Yeah.
The whole operation down there, which they've been able to keep and keep a lot of talent down there,
mm-hmm.
you know, and add a lot of transfers themselves. So I think they've got a well-oiled machine down there, but it doesn't matter if you mismanage on Saturday. And I'm not saying Pete Golding will, because we've only seen him three games, and it's three playoff games. He won two of them, and the other one came down to the wire. He was a play away from going to the national championship. So, I mean, there's a world where he might be, dare I say, this might sound crazy, Shane, there's a world where he's, in a couple of years, regarded as the best coach in the conference.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy I think is the best, Kirby, he beat him.
Yeah.
So, in his first, what was that, second game as a head coach. So, ooh, man, that's too hot for me, Shane. But I do like, I like it that you went on a ledge here.
But, well, I mean, you could even say, I mean, the argument was that they'd have more wins. What if Mississippi State wins 10, right? can we pull them up real quick? Let's be optimistic here for State fans.
So State goes 12-0, Ole Miss goes 11-1.
To do this, we got to grab momentum early, and I feel like you got to win the first four games.
And they're all winnable.
South Carolina on the road is going to be tough, but I feel like you've had a couple of tune-up games, and isn't at this point South Carolina, who are they coming off of real quick? Just kind of
Carolina, a couple cupcakes.
See, they think they've figured football out, you know?
They won't be tested.
No. Mississippi State ain't even – they may be sitting their starters by the third quarter, so this could be an absolute – this is a sneaky game. Forget the hot takes for a second. That may be – we're talking about Ole Miss and LSU. That may be the best game of the week, but – yeah, you got to start out 4-0. Now, the schedule from October 3rd to October 31st for the listeners, Bama at LSU, Oklahoma at Texas, daunting.
Maybe the toughest month in the entire Southeastern Conference.
But, Mike, I'm telling you, there is a real, and I'm telling you, a real situation here where they can lose every game in that four-game spot and close out with four wins. Vanderbilt. This is home. Vanderbilt at home. Auburn at home. Tennessee. There's three wins.
Yeah.
And then you got the Egg Bowl. And Lord knows if Pete is crucified down there because he didn't win nine games, there's a real shot you can win that one. So it would not blow my mind if Mississippi State finishes the season 8-4. This take's getting hotter. It's getting hotter, Mike.
Comment of the night. Abebe, Shane's got a better chance of being under 225 by Thanksgiving than State does of winning 10.
Okay, that 10 was a little crazy, all right? But 8?
I could see it.
Then Ole Miss gets 7? Yeah.
Okay. No, that's not bad at all. I like it. All right, now my bonus one, Shane. I feel pretty good about this, too. Pretty good. We haven't talked much Auburn.
Yeah.
Other than you, for whatever reason, jumping off the bandwagon and just emailed Golish, tried to get him on the show for Media Days. He'll never come on now. But I've got to try to win it back here, Shane. Auburn enters the Iron Bowl, the last game of the year.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the playoff race.
Oh,
heading into the last game of the year.
Oh, my gosh. Playoff race, year one.
Yeah, with Byron Brown, who I think is awesome. So, again, I'm not saying they're going to the playoff, but I'm saying beat Alabama at Alabama. They're in the playoff.
So they're sitting there.
I'm thinking eight and three.
Yeah, 8-3. So, I mean, that means you either beat Tennessee, Georgia, LSU, or Ole Miss. That would be.
Just
means,
one, yeah.
Yeah. I don't hate it, but I don't like it at all. I think you should have left this one on the shelf. Who asked for bonuses, Mike? You just ruined it. So, I feel like this situation in Auburn is kind of it's a coin toss to sit here and tell you, I love that DJ stuck around. I love the defense stuck around. You know, I felt like that was important for them to have that real opportunity. They needed Durkin to stay. However, the offense, it's a total experiment bringing the, you know, South Florida Bulls up here to play SEC football. Can it work? Absolutely. In fact, on the positive side, so many times the offenses are so slow in this conference, it feels like at the start of the season, that may not happen with Auburn, which is great because there's some toss-up games at the start of their schedule that I feel like if they are hitting on all cylinders, Baylor's winnable, Florida's winnable, you know, there's a real spot. You're sitting there 4-0, not far-fetched, but that's a lot of ifs, man. I'm a little torn. I'm a little torn with this football team, and maybe this is when I look back and say, what was I thinking? But I feel like getting to a bowl game is going to be a win in Golish's first season.
Right. Well, I mean, heck, Vanderbilt just did it with
bringing
over everybody from New Mexico State.
True. That's true. That's true. I can't argue with that.
Trinidad from... I never even heard of Ferris State, Shane. He just tore the SEC a new one last year. You don't know. I know that's just one player, but I think it in this era of football, I think it can be done. And I think it's far easier than people believe.
I think I'm looking at the teams. I feel like is there any other bonuses? Seems like
we didn't really get much Oklahoma talk.
I said John Mateer could win a Heisman.
Yeah.
You know, obviously beating Michigan on the road. This one here, Arbuckle gets fired. I offense, maybe that would be the hottest take because I'm not even expecting it to happen. But Oklahoma.
Best offense in the SEC.
I wouldn't say best. Yeah. But. I do think that they may have the best defense. So let's say top five of the SEC.
Maybe that's the take though. See, that's why it's hot. Their defense is garbage, but they got offense the best offense in the SEC.
The upside down. Oklahoma. Because I thought about a hot take. Really, would be them making the playoffs again. But I mean, I love this team. You did the preview, you know, and I don't know if it's all this Sooner propaganda they're sending out, but I'm kind of buying back into these guys and saying, hey, why not them? Why this wasn't a one hit wonder, you know? So,
and if you notice, Shane, a lot of the teams that I'm pumping up here with the hot takes, Tennessee, Auburn,
yeah,
Carolina, they all avoid the Sooners.
Ooh,
yeah. See, again, you got to. I'm trying to play a little 4D chess here. Sometimes it's about who you avoid on the schedule more than it is who you got. You know what?
I like it, Mike. I absolutely like it. I think that's a Texas, I'm trying to go. We did a little bit of Texas with Arch. Vanderbilt, anything nice about Vanderbilt? Oh, I got one for you. Pull up Arkansas. Here's one. This is the one I was trying to think. I was like, there was one I definitely wanted to go over. So I think a lot of people, obviously, myself included, Mike, are not talking enough about Arkansas. But I think by the end of this season, Arkansas starts out the season 1-0 and loses every game after. That's right. I don't know. I don't know if you could fire your coach year one, if you can afford that, because you got a old Sam still on the bill. But
well, there you go. Back to my take, Shane. I think I can make this work. So Arkansas gets a goose egg in the conference.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt gets 2 wins.
Yeah.
Kentucky gets 4.
Uh-huh.
I'm right at that 6. Well, I guess I said wouldn't win 6.
No, they're
but again, if Arkansas gets 0, let's say Vanderbilt gets 2 or 1, Kentucky could still win 4.
Yeah.
And I'd still be under. You know what?
There it is. Kentucky wins 4 SEC games. Nick, what are you going to do? I hate that you only get them for a year. But and I love how accurate we are. You know, these are hot takes. Let's don't forget, these aren't predictions. These are like.
Yeah, we just gave out 12.
Yeah.
We'd be lucky if 2 of them hit.
Exactly. But hopefully it's the Tennessee one.
Hey, shout out Boomer Sooner Forever. Evening, boys. You know what time it is? It's 6:54, and Texas still sucks. And then we had the legend Liquid.
Who? Thank you, cuz.
He gifted 5 memberships. Let's see. I think I have him right here, Shane. Took a little screenshot action. 1 minute. Yeah, here we go. All right, so Liquid gifted. Oh no, so small. Geese 88, Tony yeah. Pierce, Captain Sofon, Biden.
Damn, and how's Sam he doing?
Hargrove.
Well, and then, oh shit.
Shout out to Cousin Glenn. He gifted 5. Base God.
Thank you, cuz.
Will E. Boogie Mania. Tyrese. DCRU. Welcome.
Welcome to the family.
Courtesy Liquid and Glenn.
Glenn. What a cool name, Warshaw. I ain't got a cool name. That'd be like... like a general or something. It's General Warshaw. Don't look in his eyes.
Shout out, Jared. We appreciate you, buddy. Got an LSU
did we
preview.
Say anything? Did we say anything about LSU? You know, that's kind of funny. We didn't.
They don't want to be talked about. They get mad if you talk about them all offseason.
That's right. Yeah, the quarterback you have starting week 1 will not be the quarterback you have starting week 12.
Oh, that's pretty bold, I like it.
Yep.
Okay. Anything else, fired. Buddy, before we hop off?
Fired.
Where I thought you were going with the Kiffin, you know, maybe the NFL, maybe leaving. I thought you were going with Kiffin.
I feel like Drink could be, and then the Steiner recliner. These are two coaches that, you know, Drink was talked about several times on some of these short lists. And if he takes Mizzou to another 9-10 win season, it would not blow my mind if he doesn't get an opportunity elsewhere, maybe even in the conference, but he's always going to be talked about. But that's part of being successful, you know? Yeah. Lane Kiffin, how many times did we bring him up when he was over at Ole Miss? Because we're just waiting. What's next? What's next? Mizzou could be his final spot, and it may be. But I don't know, man. If you keep finding wins in the win column, people are going to keep calling you when they're looking for a coach. So that's one. And then Steiner recliner was the other one in Kentucky. If it's a hot one. I know it's a hot one. Even I have trouble saying it. But if there's always like that one team that just, where the hell did that come from? Some of the ads they've made in the portal I'm looking at, and I'm like, God, who knows, man? Who knows? Given with what he likes to do on offense, this may be an exciting product that somebody wants to coach their football team. So that's why I went with those.
Shout out Cousin Emily. Hot take. Shane will be on time for the next show. All right, buddy. Well, I think that's going to do it for this episode. We appreciate each and every one of you for hanging out. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Go Balls.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.